Welcome to CICK News, the only news source in the North truly dedicated to local stories on the ground. CICK News addresses the diverse needs of the underserved communities between Burns Lake and Haida Gwaii through firsthand stories and in-depth interviews. CICK News funding is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially support campus and community radio stations in Canada, as well as the Government of Canada. We are your hosts, Pam Hassan and Dan Messick, and we are on the dial at 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. Our call letters are CICK, and we are broadcasting from the unceded Gitindam territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Smithers Community Radio. Today on CICK News, what matters in our valley are a group of Telkwa and other Bulkley Valley residents who share a deep commitment to the conservation of our rivers, water, fish, wildlife, air, and the quality of life in this exceptional area. Their goals are to inform the public about the implications to our valley of the proposed Telkwa coal mine and protect the interest of the environment, the economy, and the social fabric of the community of Telkwa and the Bulkley Valley. In January of this year, What Matters in Our Valley received over 400 signatures on a petition calling on the BC Environmental Assessment Office to hold a public meeting to ensure residents are fully informed about the risks that the proposed Telkwa coal mine poses. The petition was handed to Member of Legislative Assembly for Stikeen, Nathan Cullen, as well as sent to Matthew Rogers, Environmental Assessment Office Project Lead, the Minister of Energy, Mines and Low Carbon Innovation, and the Minister of the Environment. MLA Nathan Cullen will be presenting the petition in the BC Legislature. What Matters in Our Valley is concerned that there have not been meaningful opportunities to explore the risks that the mine poses, and that the residents deserve a full airing of issues before the province makes a decision on whether to approve the mine. Specifically, the group believes that it is important that a public forum be held prior to a draft assessment report being released and final public comment period. Both the Town of Smithers and the Village of Telkwa have submitted letters supporting the need for more public engagement and information provided in a fair and unbiased way. I met with Nancy Cody and Jay Gilden of What Matters in Our Valley last month in the CICK train car so that we could discuss the environmental, socioeconomic, and lasting impacts of the proposed mine.
My name is Nancy Cody, and I'm co-chair of What Matters in Our Valley.
Can you tell me why it started and who started What Matters in Our Valley?
Sure. Yes, it started in November 2017 when it was identified that there actually was a proposed mine by Allegiance Coal to develop a mine in Telkwa. And it seemed serious enough that we decided to get together and start looking at it and moving forward from there.
And what was your background before getting involved?
About 20 years ago or so, my husband and I were involved in starting a group called TEACH, Telkwa Educational Action Coalition of Householders, because Minolta Coal had proposed a mine there. And so we started out very open-minded about it, and over time we identified that there were many concerns. And so we started a group to sort of just get the information out to the public and to raise some concerns about the development of the coal mine up there. So yeah, definitely had the history. They stopped going forward because of a fall in the coal market. But then, so to hear that it was starting up again, I know I was approached to be involved, and I said, absolutely not. it just about destroyed us, because it can become very divisive. But I'm really happy that we've gotten involved, and it's been a great group, and we're just so diverse and so much energy and knowledge, and it's just been great. And so our first focus, of course, is on looking at the proposed coal mine in Telkwa, but we do care about ensuring that Telkwa and the Bulkley Valley are environmentally, economically, and socially healthy. So it's broader than that, but definitely our focus is right now is on the coal mine. I think we'll be too tired. Well, I'll have to have a rest.
Yeah, exactly. We'll focus on that for now.
For now, yeah.
Yeah, anything else is gravy.
Yeah, okay, good. Right now.
So how is Tennis marketing this proposed mine project, and what are some of the biggest gaps in transparency that you're seeing?
Well, they are stating to the public and to the Environmental Assessment Office that this is a metallurgical coal mine, mm-hmm. which means coal used for making steel, mm-hmm. which they think will make it more palatable, especially in view of climate change and other concerns about use of coal for energy. But the reality is that the coal here is very low quality coal for metallurgical purposes. It can be used for either. And in any event, people may not know this, but coal used to make steel goes up in the air as CO2,
yeah.
just like any other coal used to produce energy or any other time that coal is burned. So from the point of view of the climate change issue, it doesn't matter how it's being used. And secondly, the steel industry itself is now transitioning away from use of coal to using hydrogen or other methods of extracting oxygen, which is what you do when you put coal in with iron. You mm-hmm. extract the oxygen to purify the product, and that makes steel. But there's other things, hydrogen and other things, that can extract the oxygen.
Yeah, I think in addition to that, of course, it's just making sure people are fully aware of what the issues are and what the concerns are, and having sort of an open discussion about that. So while they've had open houses, the Environmental Assessment Office has sort of supported the open houses as part of the process, but the people present were Telco Coal and their people they've hired,
yeah.
and I think it was really challenging to really tease out some of the issues, and sort of that's been a major concern of ours, and why we started the petition and do have in the future interest in having more conversations and trying to not tell people what to do. We want to be kind of clear that we want people to make decisions by themselves.
Yep.
We're not going to ram it down your throat. We just want to air what are the concerns and have an open forum so people can hear what the scientists have to say about it.
Yeah.
A lot of the situations are very complex, and it's hard for the average person to really wrap their mind around it. I've been intensely involved since 2017, November,
yeah.
and it's still really complex.
And do you mean the complexity of the potential of economic boom versus having a coal mine in a near vicinity to you? Also, environmentalists and people who might not even consider themselves to be environmentalists, who don't realize the changes and the damage that it would do to estuaries, rivers, and the air quality as well. But yeah, I mean, the lure of jobs is probably so tempting for people, especially because in a lot of what Tennis is putting out is the potential for jobs, and that they would try to keep as much of it as locally hired as possible. Is that what you mean by the complexity of it?
Well, I think you just really explained it really well there.
Well, you know, I'll tell you. That's why when I was reading their overview, mm-hmm. like their project overview, you know, they mentioned donations that they've made to these really, and like, I mean, it's places that I'm sure would be very happy to have a check cut to them, no strings attached, but I followed up with a couple of those places to just find out, were there any sort of stipulations with taking this? They said no, that there wasn't, but you still feel favorably about the place that gave you money, especially if you do a lot to fundraise or you're a volunteer board or something like that. So I feel like that's maybe part of the danger of marketing something like this so job forward, and wondered kind of
concerns about how we are seen in the community. We don't want to be divisive.
Oh, yeah.
And so when, for example, the Telco Coal invited people to participate in a family skate on Monday, on the family day, which is a nice gesture, when you look a little deeper into it, you understand, too, that it's a free rink, and the people that maintain it are doing it as volunteers.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's really hard, because you don't want to offend anyone, and you don't want to interfere. And yet, what you're talking about does have influence,
yeah.
like people trying to be promoted as a good community citizen, and makes you have kind feelings about them.
Yeah.
But looking a little bit deeper, it's deceptive often. It's hard for people to see past a need to put food on their table and to have a place, a roof over their heads. And we are very committed to having compassion for that as well. So what can we do to create jobs that will sort of have a high value for water and air, and what this area has to offer in terms of values?
But what matters in our valley, I mean, you're not, is part of the organization to offer suggestions for work or lines of work that people can go into to not be lured into this, or is it for the environmental concerns mostly?
Well, mostly we want people to be aware of how to weigh the proposed benefits against the costs.
Yep.
And you asked about the complexity. Well, we have a mine plan that's many thousands of pages long, full of technical details.
Right.
And how, as a layperson, do you read through that and understand what the risks are? Because Telco Coal's summary makes it look like the risks are very low. But when you page through it, and when you look at it from the point of view of experts, the risks are quite high. There's risks of selenium and other heavy metal pollution, of acid rock drainage,
mm-hmm.
of mine dam collapse that puts 200 lives at risk. And so all this has to be weighed when the community is making a decision about whether this is a good project or a bad project. We actually went out and hired our own experts. So on our website, you can see the reports from our own experts about water, about fish, about the risks of mine dam collapse,
mm-hmm.
and other potential damage to the community. And they are substantial. And in fact, our questions have now been, to a great extent, corroborated by the Environmental Assessment Office, mm-hmm. because they concluded that Telco Coal was not providing sufficient information to assess what the total level of risk is. And they have now asked them for considerably more information mm-hmm. in order to make that determination.
So you recently submitted a petition to Emily Nathan Cullen, as well as Matthew Rogers, ESA Office Project Lead for the Ministry of Energy, Mines, and Low Carbon Innovation, and the Minister of Environment. So Nathan Cullen will be presenting the petition to the BC legislature proclaiming the residents deserve a full airing of issues before the province makes a decision. This is from your website. Specifically, the group believes, your group, that it is important that a public forum be held prior to a draft assessment being released and final public comment period. What, in your opinion, is the best practice for disclosure and open forum to house these discussions that you feel like maybe TENNIS is trying to work around? What, in your opinion, is the best forum for that discourse?
Well, we're still in the process of trying to see what is possible, doable. The Environmental Assessment Office has been very clear that it's not something they can support. So, in terms of their response, so I think they feel, but we do have the letters that we could review for you. But the idea is that we're going to probably have to move forward with it on our own, and we're not quite sure what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So our ideal would be to have a forum at a place like Della Herman, where you have a variety of scientists available, either through video or in person, and that we could have us from both sides, like if you want to say sides, like from the company and from the people that we've hired, and then people could address questions, and then they could everybody could hear the answers together.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it did happen with Minolta, actually, something very similar to that happened.
Yeah,
and I think it was helpful, and it was done very well. So we want it to be facilitated not by us,
mm-hmm.
but by a third party that would be very ethical and be very respectful.
Yeah.
And respect all views and opinions. Yeah, so that would be our ideal. And the idea, we might be pursuing that. We're trying to look at that as a third party to facilitate a process. Mm-hmm. And we're also trying to sort of get some of the key issues and some of the scientists through perhaps video clips as well. So those are some things we're looking at right now.
One of the problems from our point of view is that this hasn't happened up till now. Even though the environmental assessment process is supposed to encourage input from the community, all of us basically, there's been no place, no forum where balanced views could be presented. They held a couple of open houses, but really that was just the Environmental Assessment Office providing an opportunity for Telco Coal to present this position. There was no opportunity, no request, no invitation for any other views to be expressed. So we didn't think that that was adequate from the point of view of the community understanding the project, or even from the point of view of the Environmental Assessment Office's objective of making sure people are fully informed.
Yeah. And the petition, which had about over 400 signatures on it,
that's right.
are these mostly local signatures?
I'm looking at the petition in front of me and
okay.
where people are from. I would say the majority are from Smithers, Telqua, but there are I'm seeing here Kispiox, Quick, and some outside layer, Peachland, and some outlying areas as well. But you can see the majority are from local area. So we did actually go house to house.
That's good.
I'm looking at Jay because he did a lot of the work. And we did distribute our pamphlet, which
yep.
sort of asked people to have their voice be heard and some of the key issues. So that is through social media, Facebook, Instagram, and through our website, and through a door-to-door with our pamphlet. And we did a film event as well
where
we distributed information. So those are some of the ways in which we got the public to join with us in asking. And also, we went to the town of Smithers and the village of Telqua, and they wrote letters as well.
Yes.
And which was very, very kind of them, just saying, yes, we'd like to have a more open discussion of what the risks and benefits are.
Yeah.
And so that was really satisfying. And I'm just profoundly grateful to the village.
Yeah.
And the town as well, town of Smithers, for doing that. It was very, and it also speaks to our desire to not be divisive, because we certainly do understand the need for jobs and people's family needs, and we don't want to put people off. So, yeah, I think it was a united front, but so far, although we have a good relationship with the Environmental Assessment Office, we don't really have the kind of clout that other decision makers, like they have a process for engaging with Wet'suwet'en, mm-hmm. et cetera, and also for engaging experts.
Yeah.
We're not a part of that.
Okay.
So it does, we aren't as restricted in what we can do. We're really grassroots. We are grassroots. We're all volunteers.
Yeah.
And we have a desire for a valley, an area that's beautiful and healthy and yeah. thriving, and, you know, that we have something so precious here. We want all future generations to enjoy it. And so we would like people to engage without feeling restricted. I did want to mention this recent article as well by Amanda Follett and mm-hmm. the Tai on caribou or coal. So I think there are some really interesting and relevant articles that are happening as well, because we haven't mentioned caribou yet. So I throw caribou in there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But yeah, I mean, I have more questions kind of on what risks to the environment and diversity of the land in Telqua River are glaring to you, and how are you raising those concerns, and who are you working with?
Well, let's start with the water and the fish. So the information that we provided to our experts is all from Telqua Coal's own material filed with its mine application. We didn't make this stuff up.
Oh.
Our experts didn't go out and do an independent research on this. And that information indicates that there is substantial likelihood of the water being polluted by acid rock drainage because of leaks from the containment. It indicates that there will be a substantial contamination by heavy metals. Telqua Coal itself has asked for variances of up to 25 times provincial standards for selenium and other heavy metals. This stuff is toxic to fish. The creeks and the Telqua River in the immediate vicinity of the mine are significant fish-bearing rivers. The creeks themselves were, at least historically, important contributors to not only salmon, but steelhead populations for the entire Skeena system. So this poses a real risk to the fish and our water quality. The dams, now there have been numerous dam failures for this kind of containment operation in the past around the world, including many hundreds of lives lost. We don't want to be sensationalist, but according to Telqua Coal's own presentation and information and its mine application, there are up to 200 lives at risk if the dams fail, which they could. They did not design the dams to the Canadian Dam Association standard for that kind of risk. So I'm not sure what they were thinking. It's designed below the Canadian Dam Association standards. Plus, and the EEO is not even requiring this, there have not been studies done by them about whether the dams can even be built safely. Nobody has drilled down to find out whether or not you put up a dam there, it's going to stand up. And that area is full of faults and fractures. So those are some of the risks. There's also air. You know, where is the dust going? Does it go up to the ski hill? The ski hill is just maybe 7 kilometers away, facing directly uphill and downwind from the mine. Do we ski on black snow? It's not explained in their mine application. Sound. Well, the only thing they looked at in terms of sound was how far would the impact of the noise go if to the extent that it would actually wake you up at night.
Oh.
Now, you know, there's a lot of noise around here that doesn't wake you up at night, but it's still pretty annoying.
Yeah.
And they provided a PowerPoint that includes the blast noise from other similar coal operations. It makes the camera shake when they're shooting the footage. So those are the kinds of things that we need to know.
I just will add, too, that they wash the coal, of course. Water is such a valuable resource.
Yeah.
We can't live without it. And because of climate changes, where we have intense water, but then we have no water, and just in terms of where the outflow will go into the rivers as well, I think water is a huge issue, and that's why our signs say, you know, coal and water, because it's so unpredictable that they'll have enough water.
Mm-hmm.
And the loadout is right by the river as well, in sort of a floodplain. There are a lot of issues that are of concern, not to mention where the road that they would propose to build is going, you know, the sort of a wetlands through there, etc. So those are a few other issues that we haven't really highlighted, but I think the water is particularly important.
Yeah.
And what do we value water? Do we understand what we have here? And how easily it could change.
Ironically, the loadout, which Nancy mentioned, is in a floodplain. They said, well, there hasn't been any flood there that's disrupted the railroad for, 60, 70 years, so really there's low risk. Well, this year, just after they filed the mine application, that very location was a subject to a flood warning because of the ice jam on the Bulkley River. So it is a risk there, and if the river rises up and goes to the railroad loadout, they would be storing coal there. It would wash into the river, and the coal itself generates an acid rock reaction because of its sulfur content.
Yeah.
It gets in the river, then you're going to have an acidic reaction along the river, which will be poisonous to fish.
So I think, again, it comes back to, what do you value about living here? What are the things you like the most? So if you like to be in the mountains and looking around, what's your visual? What are your aesthetics when it comes to looking around?
Right.
I mean, you're going to be able to see this mine from a variety of places. So we've posted pictures about that, too. And what about the quiet? I mean, yes, we have some noise, but do you value it? Why do people come here? Is it in an area that people come because they want to live here, for example, or they want to recreate here? Mm-hmm. And so that the impact it would have on that. And then the critical pieces, air, water, soil, I mean, all those things that we need to live, do you value that?
Yeah.
I think it's hard. I do. I think when you're in a place, especially if you've been raised around here, to really appreciate what we have and how easily it could change. And then the unpredictability of weather, it makes it a lot more important now. And not to mention, I mean, in terms of the market.
Mm-hmm.
So Allegiance right now is kind of scraping the bottom with their stock, and there's constant discussion about, well, should we go thermal? Should we go metallurgical? You know, they're kind of trying to market their product. Itochu's out of it. Allegiance bought in the rest. I think it was 10% or 5%. Anyway, you know, what quit? Benalta Coal, when they were here long ago, they were a legitimate coal mine. They actually did coal mines. They really knew their stuff a lot, and it looked like it was going to go forward, and they had a few more things to address, such as selenium, et cetera. But the market fell.
Yeah.
Suddenly nothing. That's it, done. And all the energy and all the work to getting it going. And so let's say you get the mine up and running,
right,
or even partially running, and then the market falls. And we're trying to get out of coal. It's no matter whether it's metallurgical coal or it's thermal, this is dirty, high sulfur coal.
Yeah.
It's like one of the first things we have to be looking at if we're looking at longevity on the planet. So it is ironic that we find ourselves. I mean, it's an opportunity. It's actually quite amazing that we find ourselves with the topic of coal in a diamond, a gem. Like, there's only one Wet'suwet'en territory in the whole world.
Yeah.
So it does invite everyone to get involved. What do you value? What do you like about living here? Mm-hmm. And how can we maintain it and keep people employed?
Yeah.
Let's be creative. Let's get together. Let's talk about it. Those are some of our thoughts anyway.
Was there something that I didn't ask about that's important for people to know? Let's say this might be someone's introduction to what you're doing and maybe even more information about the proposed coal mine than they had. Is there something else, a statement that you want people to leave with or something that I didn't ask about that you think is important for our listeners to know?
I just think it's important for people to know we're not against something.
Right.
We're inspired to participate because we care about people being given good information so that they can make their own decisions about how we should move forward. This is a political process, and it'll be a political decision. Mm-hmm. So we need everyone to engage and care as much as you can, and to not ideally see us as a group that's trying to push something on people. Look at what you value about life. Think about future generations, mm-hmm, in terms of the cost of water if you have to buy it. Is there going to be clean water for that long? Mm-hmm. You know, what's more important than clean water? And even in terms of health, the role the environment plays in mental health, in getting outside and having some quiet. What do you value for your children? And while it's nice to have jobs, it's critical to have jobs. It's critical people have money. And understanding that some of these occupations can be temporary.
Yeah.
And what is 20 years in 100? It's not very long if you have to pay for the consequences forever.
The consequences of putting a coal mine in at this location, just above the Telkwa River, close to the confluence of the Telkwa and the Volkwa, 7 kilometers from Telkwa, go on forever. Mm-hmm. And you have to guard against the leaks and the toxic runoff forever. Telkwa Coal's plan only calls for monitoring for 25 years.
Yeah.
So we have to think of the consequences as something that goes on forever against the benefits that would only last at best 25 years and that are really part of a sunset industry that does not really have a future in what's going on with the economy and the environment in general around the world. So weigh those two things in the balance. But, you know, these consequences will go on forever.
And if you have to taking care of something forever and the company is not in existence anymore.
Yeah.
So take that into account too, the costs for municipalities long term.
Yeah.
I think it's, thanks, Jay.
Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you so much for doing this today.
Yes, thank you
very much. Yeah. Thanks. Bye. Okay.
If you'd like to get in touch with What Matters in Our Valley, you can contact them in a number of ways. They have a website, whatmattersinourvalley.com, and you can contact them through there. You can also follow them on Facebook and Instagram, and it is what matters in our valley on both.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer, Pam Hassan, and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.